your life today.
Sniper John Allen Muhammad was executed by lethal injection. We have a little bit of a side story on that later here on America Tonight. Meantime, Brazil's cities have been slammed by huge blackouts, millions upon millions without power. Perfect. Aren't they going to host an Olympics game? Can they handle it? What about those pickpockets and some of the crime they're dealing with? It has to be pretty brutal in a blackout, I would assume. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. It is Veterans Day right around the corner, and we do tip our cap to all of you who have served this great nation. Coming up on the show, we're going to talk to one of those guys, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Erickson. He's with the United States Marine Corps Reserves, an attorney also in his civilian life who served in Iraq and Mogadishu. We're going to talk to him about what's happened on the bases with security, the privatization of so many in light of what happened at Fort Hood. Also, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, will join us to talk about that angle of the story with Major Hassan, now awake, and it's a question of what charges will be leveled at him and what will he say. And of course, there are so many questions, and the why looms very, very, very large. But today at Fort Hood, it was about remembering the 13 who were gunned down in cold blood, many on hand to memorialize their lives, thousands upon thousands of people, obviously on the base, but other dignitaries, including the President of the United States, Barack Obama. Here is a big chunk of what he had to say.
To Admiral Mullen, General Casey, General Cone, Secretary McHugh, Secretary Gates, most importantly to family, friends, and members of our armed forces. We come together filled with sorrow for the 13 Americans that we have lost, with gratitude for the lives that they led, and with a determination to honor them through the work we carry on. This is a time of war. Yet these Americans did not die on a foreign field of battle. They were killed here, on American soil, in the heart of this great state, in the heart of this great American community. This is the fact that makes the tragedy even more painful, even more incomprehensible. For those families who have lost a loved one, no words can fill the void that's been left. We knew these men and women as soldiers and caregivers. You knew them as mothers and fathers, sons and daughters, sisters and brothers. But here is what you must also know. Your loved ones endure through the life of our nation. Their memory will be honored in the places they lived and by the people they touched. Their life's work is our security and the freedom that we all too often take for granted. Every evening that the sun sets on a tranquil town, every dawn that a flag is unfurled, every moment that an American enjoys life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is their legacy. Neither this country nor the values upon which we were founded could exist without men and women like these 13 Americans. And that is why we must pay tribute to their stories.
All right, so again, so many on hand at Fort Hood to recognize the people for their achievements, and I think that's what the emphasis certainly was. 13 people dead after that mass shooting just last Thursday in that sprawling post in Killeen, Texas. I wanted to mention the victims, especially as we swing into Veterans Day, by name instead of just referring to them as the 13 who died. Chief Warrant Officer Michael Grant Cahill, retired, 62 years old. He was a physician's assistant at Fort Hood, and he liked his job so much, he loved being on the base, that he took only 1 week of recovery time after he had heart surgery at one point in his life. Also, Major Eduardo Caveo, 52 years old, he came to the United States way of Juarez, Mexico in the 70s when he was a teenager, didn't know a lot of English, learned it, and loved being in the Army Reserve. Also, coming to this, not coming to this country, in this country, Army Staff Sergeant Justin DeCrow, 32 years old, a husband and a father, a 13-year-old daughter now left without that father as a result of what happened on Thursday. Captain John Gaffney from San Diego, California, 56 years old, an Army reservist, was a psychiatric nurse, worked for a couple of decades in San Diego County, and he specifically helped elderly victims of abuse and neglect. Also, Frederick Green, Private Frederick Green, 29 years old, somebody who also was said to have loved the idea of the military. Also, Private Jason Dean Hunt from Oklahoma, 22 years old, wanted to be something, part of something greater, according to his family. He enlisted in the Army in 2006, spent his 21st birthday in Iraq, chose to reenlist and to put the next 6 years toward the military. Also, Sergeant Amy Krueger, 29 years old, a high school athlete, joined the military after the attacks on September 11th, knew she wanted to do something different to serve her country, according to family and friends. Private Aaron Thomas Namika from Utah, 19 years old, graduated from high school, enlisted in the military the very same year he was going to be deployed to Afghanistan in January. He was very happy, according to his family, to serve his country. Private Michael Pearson from Illinois, just 22 years old, enlisted in the Army more than a year ago to realize his musical dream. He hoped the military would help his path along to college, where he would be able to study musical theory, according to his family, back in Chicago. Captain Russell Seeger from Wisconsin. Here's a 51-year-old man. He was a nurse and, again, very dedicated to helping people with mental health problems related to war experience, and was getting ready to possibly to be deployed, rather, to Iraq. Also, Private Francesca Velez, 21 years old, from Chicago, Illinois, always wanted to act to help other people and stuck with it. Her father encouraged her to continue along. She was 3 months pregnant, and he was telling her to stick with it, stick with the military, even after she gave birth. Lieutenant Colonel Juanita Warman, 55 years old, from Maryland. Again, another person who was said to be very dedicated. Private Quam Zahn from Minnesota, preparing for the first deployment since joining the Army. All very, very sad stories. We put some names on those victims. Coming up next, was this an act of terrorism? Well, you know what I think. We've been talking about it for a couple of days here on America Tonight. We're going to talk with a terrorism expert next, who we've had on the show a few times, Jeff Atticott. Stay with us.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dried Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dried Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried Guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
This is Alex Jones, and I want to tell you about the Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator that produces pure drinking water right from the humidity in the air. No, this isn't science fiction. It's very real. I know because I use one every day in my own home, and it's available right now to you. Because you know exactly where your water comes from with Ecola Blue, you'll know what's in your cup. Clean, great-tasting water without all the pollutants. Get your family off the grid today by ordering your own Ecola Blue Atmospheric Water Generator for your home or business. Their best seller, the Ecola Blue 28, produces up to 7 gallons of water every day. The Ecola Blue 28 is easy to use and economical. Generate your own pure water from the humidity in the air. This system is free of chemicals and uses a multi-stage filtration system, including reverse osmosis, carbon filters, and ultraviolet lights. Order now and claim your water independence today by calling Ecola Blue at 1-800-691-6043. That's 1-800-691-6043. Or visit Ecola Blue on the web at www.ecoloblue.com today.
As you raise the flag to raise awareness for what our veterans have done for us in the past and what they're doing today in Afghanistan and certainly still in Iraq. Sadly, 20% report symptoms of PTSD or even some major depression. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Luckily, there are some steps being taken to help this. All right, as I said, as somebody who has had family who served in the military for a very long time, I didn't serve, but they have a tip of the cap for Veterans Day, and sad what's happened at Fort Hood. We've been talking about it now for almost a week. Always a pleasure to welcome Jeff Atticott to the show. He's a terrorism expert, and of course, he's associate professor of law and the director of the Center for Terrorism Law at St. Mary's University School of Law in San Antonio, Texas. He, too, is somebody who knows about serving for 20 years. He retired in 2000. He was lieutenant colonel at that point, so serving as an Army officer. And, again, thanks for your service, Jeff, and for joining us so often here on America Tonight to try to make sense of all this. We appreciate it.
Oh, always a pleasure.
First of all, you know, the basic question, when this first happened, everybody was wondering, well, geez, he worked in the mental health field. Could it be that something just tripped inside his head and sent him in that direction? And then there were all these stories that started to break about emails he had written and whatnot. When you first heard the story, what was your initial reaction?
Well, the you know, shock like everybody else. And then what really caused me some great curiosity was within 2 hours you had the FBI coming out with a statement that this was not a terrorist incident. And I immediately said to myself, probably is a terrorist incident. if they come out within 2 hours and you know, try to tell the public that this is not terrorism. And as the pieces started to fall together, it became very apparent that this indeed was a terrorist incident, the first such major terrorist attack we've had on the homeland, of course, since 9/11. And, you know, again, slowly the media is now starting to pick up on the fact that, this, in fact, was a radical Islamic lone wolf terrorist. That is, he did it by himself, but clearly his motive was the same motive that inspired the individuals that attacked us on 9/11, the same motive that inspires the suicide bombers and the fanatics that were fighting in Afghanistan and have fought in Iraq and still fighting in Iraq and Yemen, Pakistan, Western Pakistan, Sudan. This is part of the larger war on terror.
So who do you think dropped the ball on this? Because now all these people are coming out and saying, for example, how when he was at Walter Reed, he had done a project that he was supposed to do, a presentation, and it was really supposed to be geared toward mental health drugs or issues or all the stuff that he was going to work in as a resident. He did this, and he delivered a speech instead basically on how Muslims shouldn't serve in the military because they're fighting fellow Muslims in some of the places where we find ourselves occupying right now, Iraq and, of course, Afghanistan. So what happened here? Was it the Army who dropped the ball, the FBI, because they couldn't piece this together fast enough? I don't know. Who do you think dropped the ball?
Well, there's a lot of factors. We have been extremely fortunate since 9/11. We've done a lot of hard work in breaking up a variety of sleeper cells, both individuals that were motivated by jihad as well as small groups. And this fellow got through. And it's really a case of incompetence and also political correctness, unfortunately, because this Hassan fellow, he belongs to what we call a protected class in America, and that is if you make an allegation that someone in a protected class is engaging or might be engaging in some type of jihadi activity, then the person that makes those allegations is also subjecting themselves to scrutiny, you know, because the first thing that Hassan would say and someone in that protected class would respond is that, oh, you know, you're a racist, you're biased, you're attacking me because of my religion or my ethnic background. So many people, you know, don't want to raise the issue because you're setting yourself up for scrutiny, and so the natural tendency of many humans as well, I just won't say anything, we'll just, you know, ignore this individual and just not take any action. And from the dozens and dozens of red flags that went up about this individual, you would think that someone would have confronted him directly and taken action to stop him. It's both the CIA and the military, because the CIA apparently knew about this fellow's contacts with Al-Qaeda individuals in Yemen, and, you know, they were watching him, they were tracking him, and yet nobody did anything.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. That was the theme last night on our show. Are we too politically correct for our own good in some cases? And we're seeing this being played out in a couple of different ways in other situations. Of course, we care about Fort Hood. As you said, it's the worst attack we've seen since 9/11. As somebody who served, how awful is that to not be protected on a base? For goodness sake, half of these young people who now were being deployed for the first time lose their life on our soil on a base. Do you think the bases need to change security measures or do something different, or can they even do that?
No, I mean, this, you know, it's an issue of targeting someone based on their behavior, not their religion or their, you know, ethnicity. And that's the red flags that went up. And this war on terror is global. It's not over there. It's everywhere. And the hard part about the war on terror is that it's the virus of jihad. There are thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people that buy into this jihadi mentality. And the soldiers that were wounded and killed, they all deserve purple hearts, because it is part of the war on terror. And that's what makes it so difficult. They don't wear uniforms. They hide amongst us. They use our freedoms against us. They hide behind religion. They hide behind freedom of speech. we need, you know, obviously at the top, we need leadership. We need a president that will not call this, you know, a horrific crime. This is a war crime. We're at war. These are terrorists. The president won't use those words. Obviously, you can understand why he doesn't use those words, because this terrorist attack happened on his watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you wholeheartedly. So now, what justice is meted out? It's obviously it would be military, right? Or maybe I'm wrong on this.
No, I mean, every terrorist incident, the FBI has a primary lead to investigate terrorism incidents in the homeland. And every terrorist incident that we've broken up has gone to a federal court. They've been charged with terrorism and terrorism-related crimes. It's curious that this individual is going to a military court. And the reason, in my opinion, is that if the Obama administration sent this person to a federal court for trial, then it would be a recognition of the reality that he is a terrorist. So therefore, it's almost like doublespeak. You know, we'll send him to a military trial, and they made that decision very quickly, just as the FBI very quickly said that, oh, this is not a terrorist attack, when in fact it is. And so it's almost doublespeak. So the military is going to try him for the common law crime of murder, and he's not being tried for a terrorist attack.
Yeah, I agree with you. Homegrown, turns to a jihadist, whatever, didn't grow up that way, it doesn't matter. It could be the same thing for you and I, or anybody, for that matter. If that's what you become, that's what you are, and we're seeing so many of those plots that are thwarted, so what's different in this case? And it would make a big difference, I think, like you said, if they tried him federally, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because, you know, it's a recognition of the reality. That this guy jumped up on a table, screamed what all these radical Islamic murderers say, you know, God is great in Arabic, and then starts slaughtering people. And he picked a target where he could kill the maximum number of individuals. It's premeditated. As I said, Helen Keller could figure this one out, and yet our president is unable to say that this is a radical Islamic terrorist.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're saying it, Jeff. We always appreciate you coming on the show. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. My pleasure.
All right, Jeff Atticott, he calls him like he sees him. And as I said, somebody who served in the military and does often advise the FBI and others on terrorism. So listen to what he was saying. I think he made an excellent point as to what the difference would be. Why can't you call him a radicalized, Islamist? What is wrong with that title? Because it's exactly what happened. And certainly those who witnessed what happened when he opened fire say the same thing that you just heard Jeff Atticott say, that he was screaming Allah Akbar and whatnot. Coming up next, a different perspective, talking about the bases and safety and whatnot from somebody who serves too as well in the United States Marine Corps, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Erickson. Up next, he served in Iraq and Mogadishu. He'll join us around the bend.
What's so crazy about not starving?
To cover yourself and your family in the event of accidents or emergency, you may have home, life, auto, dental, and health insurance.
But what about food insurance?
Water and food are vital to human survival.
So what's so crazy about not starving?
Foodinsurance.com has designed emergency packs and kits with at least 2 weeks' worth of great-tasting food and clean water. Most Foodinsurance.com meals are freeze-dried,
which means they'll last and retain nutritional value up to 10 years.
Foodinsurance.com meals like lasagna, beef stroganoff, and other tasty entrees are quick, delicious, simple to prepare, and start at just $199.99. The low cost is just one reason to get foodinsurance.com.
Need more reasons?
Foodinsurance.com kits come with a lightweight, high-quality backpack and a free utensil tool. Go to foodinsurance.com or call 1-866-946-8366. That's 1-866-946-8366. Get protected at foodinsurance.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
We all know that the Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 4 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water systems. The revolutionary Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and re-cleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels, and removes harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $209, and the Berkey guy will include three sport Berkey water bottles and ship everything to you free of charge. That's right, three sport Berkey water bottles and free shipping, an $87 value, yours free, but only for a limited time. Just call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653 now to order. That's 1-877-886-3653 or order online now at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
This is Jerry Pierce, the radio detective. Have you heard of the Millionaire Patriot? Well, you should. He has a free handgun and 5 days of firearm training waiting for you. That's right. You can attend 5 days of world-class gun training at Front Sight Firearms Training Institute and secure a 30-state concealed weapons permit, all for pennies on the dollar. Plus, if you act fast, the Millionaire Patriot will give you a free Springfield Armory XD pistol in the caliber of your choice. Now is the time you and your family need to be armed and trained to levels that exceed law enforcement and military standards. Front Sight provides such training without any boot camp mentality or drill instructor attitudes, and the Millionaire Patriot's paying his own money to help you get it. This is real. Thousands have already taken advantage of it, and you should too. Don't miss out. Secure a Front Sight defensive handgun course plus 30-state concealed weapons permit for pennies on the dollar. And get your free handgun. Go to frontsight.com today. That's FrontSight.com. Go to frontsight.com for your training and free gun.
Most people know that drinking pure high alkaline pH water is the most important factor in maintaining high energy and vibrant health. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using plasma pH drops is the best way to make your water alkaline to help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy level. Alkalizing water helps your body rid itself of acidic waste and increases the oxygen content of your body. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, and cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776 today.
You think when you serve in the military, you have a safe haven of security when you're on the base, certainly at Fort Hood. That was the presumption until last week when really our world was shattered because the mass killing certainly shook the nation when it happened. And sadly, for the families of those who were killed, geez, even those wounded, just an awful, awful thing. And I've gone through the list of the folks who were lost in that massacre, and you think of the 21-year-old Private Velez who was pregnant and was going to return home after deployment in Iraq, and then you think of young Jason Hunt, just 22 years old, who served in Iraq and was married only 2 months ago, and Major Cavero, who was 52 and was headed back into a war zone in Afghanistan, and the stories are just so sad. So now the president is promising a full investigation of the Fort Hood shootings, but not too much has been revealed about it. Police are still searching for a motive. A lot of people say that there's no doubt the shooter had ties to extremist Islamic ideology. And this is going to get interesting on the motive portion of it. And it looks as though it's going to be a military-handled deal in a military court instead of federal court, which would be war crime, et cetera, as we were just talking to Professor Jeff Atticott about that. So, sadly, heavy hearts this Veterans Day. Joining us now, Lieutenant Colonel Rick Erickson, who served with the United States Marine Corps. He's part of the reserve, of course, and now an attorney in civilian life, served in Iraq and Mogadishu. So we do thank him for his service on this Veterans Day. And Lieutenant Colonel, thanks for popping on and adding some perspective here on America Tonight.
Hey, Kate, it's great to be with you tonight.
Let's talk about the bases, first of all, and as I said, shattering what you think is a safe haven on a base when you're before you're getting ready to be deployed. And I think that's what's so hard for people to deal with, you know, coming to grips with that whole thing. What's happened on the bases? Are our military bases vulnerable, do you think, as a whole? You think of not just Fort Hood but other spots to something like this happening?
Well, I think the privatization of security on our bases is something that we as Marines especially opposed, because we see that as part of our daily duties to guard our own facilities. And, you know, it's important to recognize the reason why we have walls around our bases and that we're separate from the society we protect. The things that go on there, the laws that we abide by are different. As you said, this major will be punished under the Uniform Code of Military Justice. You know, for that reason, we really should have the responsibility to protect our own bases rather than turn it over to private security guards, which is what's happening in the Department of Defense.
Yeah, do you think now with this happening at Fort Hood, and I know there's people lobbying, that there's a, well, I'm answering my own question, I guess, but wouldn't we like to see that be flipped over and make us feel a little bit more secure? I've heard that there are people pushing for that, but what's the likelihood of that happening?
Well, and could it have even prevented something like this? I mean, You have a field grade officer entering the base with apparently two weapons that went unnoticed until he was able to kill 13 people and wound 30. You know, I think that I've talked about the difference in cohesion when it's different than an office building where people come to work at 9 and go home at 5. You know the people that you're around on a daily basis. You anticipate you might have to give your life for one of them. You should know these people better and anticipate something like this happening, even when it's a major and a respected physician in the eyes of maybe some of the enlisted that he actually wound up killing. But In these circumstances, I think, you know, officership is about protecting the people that we're entrusted with first. And that clearly is going to be, I think, the issue in the investigation.
Yeah. What about the it's interesting in a point that you bring up leads to this. How about the screening process of all military personnel? Is that a little bit lax? I mean, is that part of the problem? I mean, these are people that you should know inside and out.
Well, General Casey made the comment today that was very troubling about, you know, sacrificing diversity in the process of trying to figure out what happened, and that he hoped we don't lose that. But as military people, we don't really think in terms of diversity. I mean, that's not part of our mission statement. When I went to Marine Infantry School, it was about projecting combat force against our enemies. We weren't trying to simulate the cultural society that we're under oath to protect. We're supposed to do something very different. And so when you're kind of looking at some of the comments that are coming out, they're a bit strange to me. They don't seem to make much sense, and that's not what's going to prevent this. It's going to be better leadership, better accountability, and allowing people to express themselves if they feel that someone's on the edge like this, to be able to say, I don't like being around this guy, I think something's wrong, without the repercussions of saying, oh, you're just saying that because he's Muslim. The kinds of things I think are going to come out as to whether or not there were signs that people were afraid to talk about because of this culture.
Yeah, I agree. I agree that the idea of the diversity comment, as you said with General Casey, it's like the political correctness also is in play here when you connect the dots. But certainly, as you mentioned, in the military culture, the fact that someone doesn't come forward, because what happens then? What's the next step? What would they be called? How could it endanger their career or where they're going? Should they have said anything? Like Walter Reed, when Major Hassan was there, we've learned that as a resident, and I'm sure you heard the story, he He gave a presentation, as did other residents. That was one of the things they had to do with in front of supervisors and peers and whatnot. And it was supposed to be about medical drugs used to treat the various mental illness that they would see, or some of the other things that were working or whatnot, whatever they wanted to take, but something to do with medicine, of course. And he talked about, and they've got a copy of that. It was even in the Washington Post, I think. They have a copy of what he was saying, and it was about Muslims maybe not serving in the military because they would be conflicted, and it stunned the people who were in the room. But yet this was in 2007, and geez, how can you explain that nothing happened?
Well, yeah, I think you're right. When you use the term political correctness, we are really, I think as military people in the times that I've served on active duty, we really try to stay away from that because we don't want it to infect the mission that we have to accomplish. We don't really follow these. Like I said, the diversity idea is just a given. Marines, for example, see each other in shades of green. Some are dark green, some are light green, but we're all green and we're all supposed to accomplish the mission. We don't have these racial divides that you see more so in our civilian culture.
Mm.
But that said, you know, I think that the more that we try to make the military look a lot like civilian culture, the more we're going to have people who are afraid to say, look, I saw Major Hassan give this presentation, and I was very concerned about the fact that this is the officer who's supposed to be eventually protecting us by helping us through psychological issues, and yet he seems to be against what we're doing. He's expressing that openly. He doesn't appear to be willing to follow the orders that he's given, or to issue orders that will accomplish the mission. I think somebody should talk to him. But I think, you know, people are going to be afraid to say something like that under the circumstances we described.
Yeah, and I love the way you said it's true. Green or different colors of green. In this case, if he was spewing the anti-American stuff and had the efforts to reach out to Al-Qaeda, et cetera, and the justification of homicide bombings, I mean, he's not playing on the same team. So wouldn't you think, as somebody who served, this does not fit into this culture, this is not part of the mission, this person can't be here? Wouldn't that be what normally you would think would happen?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even when it comes to religious faith, at least in my experience in the Naval Service, you know, we accommodate all faiths. We have services for all faiths, and each member is allowed to go to services. But when it comes to taking that faith to an extreme where you're starting to let it seep into the fact that you may not be willing to do what you're told to do, or to take this order, whatever it is, to go and accomplish the mission, and as an officer, lead men and women potentially to their fate, that you're going to be thinking that you can't do this because you believe that it goes against your Muslim faith, or that, you know, those kinds of things need to be vetted out, because, you know, many of us would prefer to serve with folks that simply do what we've been good at from the very beginning in this country, and that is separating out the ideologies and the faith and everything else, and seeing ourselves as a body that people rely on, the only line between us and the enemy. And for that reason, we've been so good at what we do, because we just follow the orders, we accomplish the mission, and in between, we're not really supposed to argue about whether or not we believe in what we're doing, or whether an order that's given to us, as long as it's a lawful one, is one that we can carry out in good faith because we've taken an oath to do so, regardless of our prejudices or our opinions or our ideologies. All of that has been, you know, historical in our military, something that we've been able to put aside so that we can accomplish the mission.
Yes, so well said. Lieutenant Colonel Rick Erickson, thank you for joining us on these airwaves. We'd love to talk to you again in the future, and thank you for your service to this country.
Thank you, Kate. Great to be with you.
Thanks. Again, Veterans Day, and here we are talking about and trying to make sense of, can you make sense of what happened at Fort Hood? Coming up on the flip side, we'll fill in the blanks a little bit more as to what has happened, what the Army Chief of Staff General George Casey is now stressing, what Senator Joe Lieberman is saying, and then odds and ends, some other things that have happened across the country today. Stay with us.
Let's get down to it. Money is tight. We at Life Change Tea know this. So try our package deal and save some bucks. Feel better. Lose weight and feel better. Oh, yeah, I said that. And here's a thought. When you lose weight, you eat less. Less food saves you money. So now Life Change Tea makes you feel better, helps with your weight problem, and you will save money. It doesn't get any better. Order today. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. You've heard it. Or call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Lose weight, feel better, and save some bucks. That's GetTheTea.com.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest of effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at OfTheField.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this, Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic, no negative side effects, guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now, 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305 or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Time for a little news you can abuse. And we're going to take you to Connecticut, Chicago, and West Virginia, also San Diego in the mix. First, though, we head to Connecticut, and we have a lot of listeners in Connecticut. Police in several Connecticut towns are reporting people with some sticky fingers are stealing chewing gum. They say that the hot gum is being sold on the street. It is kind of a strange crime to trace because the evidence is actually chewed up and spit out. In one of the largest recent cases, a 21-year-old guy was charged with shoplifting about $800 worth of Orbit gum. How about that? So there's a market for stolen gum. Fairfield Police Sergeant James Perez says people peddle the stolen stuff like, you know, hey, gum, meat, fish, candy, almost anything. Wow. Hey, I'm going to ask you a personal question, Matt Johnson. Did you ever swipe anything from a candy store?
When you're little, you do things such as that. So, yeah.
On a dare, what did you get, a Clark bar or something?
Clark bar? What is this, 1975? No. It was, I don't know. I don't even remember what I took, but, you know, you're younger, you do dumb stuff like that.
Yeah, you know, I think that every guy that I've ever talked to, even the most honest people I've met, they all have a story in their childhood, especially guys, about having sort of a rite of passage of trying to swipe something.
It's kind of a, I don't know, when you probably the 12 to 14-year-old range, mm-hmm. where you You get, I don't know, maybe a sense of, I wouldn't want to say entitlement, but just toying on the line of risky behavior that you have to indulge yourself in.
Yeah, but see, then you either go down one road or the other. You, well, you don't become somebody who's a shoplifter, right? That's right. So it's the little rite of passage, but hopefully you're just just stealing like one box of Orbit gum, not $800 worth of the stuff, right? How crazy, and then reselling it. Wow. All right, so I just wanted to prove my theory because honestly, in everyone I've ever talked to had some story like that where they swipe something on a dare, and I think it's more a guy thing than a girl thing, by the way, too. Hey, let's head to Chicago. John Crow won't be toasting his latest accomplishments. Cops in Chicago said the 70-year-old slipped three bottles of expensive champagne under his jacket. See, some people never learn. And walked out of a Whole Foods store. It's his 63rd arrest. They say he's used at least 50 aliases over the years. The champagne had a price tag of $135. Police at first charged him with misdemeanor retail theft, but the charge was upgraded to a felony after they got a look at the man's extensive police record. Wow, 50 aliases. How do you come up with that many aliases? I guess he was good at it, right? West Virginia. A former West Virginia mayor and city council member are battling it out over birds. Check this out. Their neighbors in Mannington, the former mayor Frank White, charges that pigeons are pigging out thanks to city councilman Jeff Michael. White says that Michael is giving the birds seed, bread, and even french fries. He says the birds land on his property and create a mess. He wants the city to do something, but they aren't sure they have bird power. For now, officials say the bird-feeding councilman has agreed to clip the wings of the feathered feast. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not a big pigeon fan. I understand pigeons in the cities and stuff, but not a big fan. I can kind of side a little bit with the former mayor, Frank White. I think I'm kind of on his side. Let's go to San Diego. The freeway was closed because of a lot of white stuff. So the California Highway Patrol knew it wasn't snow. They had to shut down a major freeway in San Diego after about 200 gallons of paint spilled. Ooh, that's awful. It couldn't have happened at a worse time shortly before 8 a.m., so imagine the morning traffic. The CHP says about 40 buckets of white paint fell off a flatbed truck. The driver rounded a curve, and then that's where it all dumped out. All that paint. And, geez, I guess there wasn't a brush in sight. Boy, if that paint got up on your car, can you imagine what a mess that would be? I have a black car that I drive. Oh, that would be nasty stuff, to say the least. All right, it is kind of a symbol in New York, and we're talking about the public library. The library's new logo features a streamlined lion. The design is based on a famed marbled lions. Actually, there's two of them that are on the steps of the main library at 5th Avenue and 42nd Street. They say the bold lines of the lion logo will look good on a computer screen or in print. And it's interesting, and the reason I brought this up is there's some other famous lions, like at the Art Institute in Chicago. But these lions, and I don't know about the Art Institute's lions, but these lions actually have names. And you know what their names are? Patience and Fortitude. I think there's a lesson in that somewhere. Today in history, oh, yes, indeed, already, it is November 11th. This is Veterans Day, and so happy Veterans Day once again to all of you listening who serve this country and family members of those who serve for everything that you have done and the sacrifices you and your family made along the way, whether you're currently in the military or you have served in the past. In 1620, 41 pilgrims aboard the Mayflower anchored off Massachusetts signed a compact calling for a body politic. How about that? 41 pilgrims. Yep. 1831, former slave Nat Turner, who led a violent insurrection, was executed in Jerusalem, Virginia. In 1889, Washington became the 42nd state. Also in 1929, the Ambassador Bridge spanning the Detroit River between Michigan and Windsor, Ontario, was dedicated. In 68, the Republic of Maldives was declared, and in 83, President Ronald Reagan became the first U.S. chief executive to address the Diet, Japan's national legislature. And in 1984, the Reverend Martin Luther King Sr., father of the slain civil rights leader, died in Atlanta at the age of 84. 1 year ago, President George Bush marked his last Veterans Day as president at a New York pier, speaking to a crowd of thousands gathered for the rededication of the USS Intrepid Sea, Air, and Space Museum. A very cool place to go and see, and especially since they had done some work on it, and now it's, again, and that's why he was there. And they put some other aircraft and whatnot aboard that. It's definitely a must-see if you go to New York City. Also, if we wind the clock back, easy for me to say, 5 years ago, you would remember that Palestinians at home and abroad wept, waved flags, and burned tires in an eruption of grief at the news of the death of Yasser Arafat in Paris at the age of 75. Speaking of life and death and celebrating birthdays, can we have some birthday music, Maestro, please?
I need birthday singers! Come on, people, we need birthday singers!
All right, Senator Barbara Boxer, who's been around for a long time, Democrat, California, 69 years old. The president of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, 64. Golfer, Fuzzy Zeller, 58 years old. Rocker Ian Craig Marshall from Human League is 53. Actor Stanley Tucci, character actor, you would have seen him, 49 years old. Actress Demi Moore, married to Ashton Kutcher. Boy, there's a big age difference there. He just turned 30, I think. She is, which I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. She is 47 years old. Actress Calista Flockhart is also celebrating her birthday, 45 years old. Actor Philip McKinnon is 45. Actor Frank John Hughes is 42. David DeLuise is 38. He's an actor. A lot of actors in this one. Leonardo DiCaprio, also celebrating a birthday, 35 years old, from Cowboy Mouth. Rocker Jonathan Priedus is 28 years old. And from Vanilla Fudge, Vince Martell is 64 years old. Jazz singer Moose Allison is 82 years old. If you're celebrating a birthday, go out and make it count. Wow, some interesting birthdays, I think, on this list. You had, what, Leonardo, Demi, and Calista Flockhart. I'm going to leave you with this thought for the moment. Kurt Vonnegut, ever hear of him? American author who was born, actually, in the state in 1922, died back in 2007. He said, life happens too fast for you ever to think about it if you could just persuade people of this, but they insist on amassing information.